We are preaching through the book of James on Sunday evenings, and we're in James chapter 2. So let me ask you to take a Bible, turn to James chapter 2. You really, really need a Bible for these kind of sermons on Sunday night. We're in James chapter 2. We're going to cover verses 14 through 26. James 2, we're covering verses 14 through 26. This section of the book of James is without question the most controversial section of the book of James. It is, in fact, amongst the most controversial passages in all of the New Testament. This portion of the book of James is very, very troubling to many of our denominational friends. And the reason for that is because in this passage of Scripture, James sets forth very clearly that biblical faith must always manifest itself in obedient actions. Now, if you will read this section of Scripture, there's nothing difficult about any of it. It's easy to understand. There's nothing here that is too hard for you to grasp if you will leave your preconceived ideas out of it. If you will leave all of the excess baggage out of it and just read the passage, you'll understand it. So let's begin. Faith is an essential element in the Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God, and they that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So without faith, you cannot please God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we are saved by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Paul says that we walk by faith. The word walk there means live. So we live by faith. Now let's put them together. Without faith, it is an impossibility to please God. We are saved by faith. And we must live every day of our lives by faith. But here's what you have to remember, and this is important. There are different kinds of faith, but only one can save. Only one kind of faith can save anybody. So I would suggest to you tonight that this is a passage of Scripture that you need to learn. And you're going to get well on your way in the next few minutes here with that. This is a passage that you need to learn. You need to study, you need to restudy, and you need to understand this. And then, once you understand this, this is a passage of Scripture you need to teach other people. So we address the subject tonight, is your faith alive and well? Now, we're going to take this section, verses 14 through 26 in James 2, and we're going to break it down into three bite-sized pieces. Piece number one, in verses 14 through 17, James says that what a person professes and what a person practices may be two completely different things. Let me say that again. What a person professes, what they say, and what they practice may in fact be two completely different things. Now, let's take up with it. James 2, beginning with verse 14. Follow along carefully. We need to learn this. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, be warmed and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Verse 17, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking here about a faith that has words but no deeds. He's talking about a faith here that has words but no deeds. Look at verse 14 again. What good is it, my brother, if a man claims? He's talking. He's claiming with his mouth. Oh, look at all this faith I got. What good is it if he claims? He talks. Look at verse 16. If one of you says to him, he's claiming, he's saying, he's talking. In other words, when you examine this fellow, the vocabulary is there, but the actions are not there. Now, let me tell you something about faith. Faith is intangible. What does that mean? That means that unless it does something, you'll never know it's there. Unless it acts, unless it does something, you can never know it's there. Now, hold James 2. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to show you Matthew chapter 7. This is a passage that you know, but I want to pull out two words, and I want you to underline these two words in your Bible. Matthew chapter 7, and verse number 21. This is Jesus, the brother of James, who says this. The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, underline the word says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does, underline the word does, the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, the two words I want you to see are the word says and the word does. You see the difference in them two words there? If a person says something but doesn't do anything, what does Jesus say that's worth? It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. So here is a guy again, here is a group of people in Matthew 7 who have the right vocabulary, but there's not actions backing it up. So Jesus says, guess what? That's useless. Now go back to James 2 and look at the question that James asks. Verse 14, James 2, look at the end of verse 14. So James asks the question, can such faith save him? Now listen to me. Such faith, what faith? Can the faith that talks but doesn't do anything save? Can the faith that talks but doesn't back up the talk with actions, can that faith save anyone? Well, let's look at his answer. Look at verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So faith that talks but doesn't do, according to verse 17, what is it? It's dead. Look at verse 20. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? So faith without actions in that verse is what? It's useless. Wow. Look at verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So what is a faith that has words but no actions? It's dead. What is it? It's useless. What is it? It's dead. So what is James saying? James is saying that a faith that talks but doesn't act doesn't save. That's what he says. And it's easy to understand. Then he gives you an absolute, livable, seeable, concrete example of it. Look at verse 15. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. Stop right there. This brother here is in tough shape. This brother has got nothing on his body, clothes. And this brother has got nothing in his body, food. So he's jacked. Jacked is a word you learn down on the east, just on the other side of Jefferson Avenue there. But it's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. Right? Verse 15. He's got nothing on his body, no clothes. He's got nothing in his body, no food. Now look at verse 16. If one of you, one of who? One of you who have faith but no works, if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warmed and fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? What in the world good is a religion that will walk up to basic, really bad needs and do absolutely nothing? What good is it? None at all. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, let us love not only in word, but in deed and in truth. So bite number one, what a person professes and what a person practices can be two totally different things. Bite number two. Verses 18 and 19. James says that the Christian life is both faith and action. Faith and action. Look at verse 18 and verse 19. But someone says, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without your deeds. I will show you my faith by what I do. Verse 19. You believe there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Now look at this guy. Here is a guy who argues that you don't have to have both faith and works. That's his argument. And here's how he works it out. He says, okay. He says, this brother right here, Jesse, you got faith. I got works. So him and I are going to get together and we got the package. Faith and works. What James says is, no, 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 no. What James says, now hear this, what James says concerning faith, James says that faith is not a matter of either or, it's a matter of both and. What does that mean? Faith is not, it's not a matter of either faith or works, it's a matter of both faith and works. That's how that works. It's not you get together with part of it, and I'll get together with part of it, and we'll find somebody else with a part of it, and we'll all get together, and we'll all together equal what we ought to have. James says, nonsense. Nonsense. Now let's ask the question he asked earlier. Can that faith save? The faith that says you can have faith and he can have works and we can get together and we're all going to be okay. Does that faith save? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So look at verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith. Listen, James says that faith isn't a tell me, he says faith is show me. Show me your faith. Show me your faith. Well, if you're going to show somebody something, then what do you got to do? You got to do something. You got to do something. Faith is show me. Show me your faith. Show me your faith. You got to act. You got to do something. Now look at verse 19. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Now, if you have faith and don't have works, what you have is demonic. Did you hear what I said? Is that what that says? The demons, listen, if you have faith, if you believe in your head, if you believe in your mind, there is one God, but that belief, that intellectual understanding doesn't cause you to move and to work and to act on it. You say, well, I believe there's one God. I want to congratulate you because you got the same faith the devil's got. It's demonic. Is that what it says or not? That's what it says. Even the demons believe there's one God. It's demonic. Now, what are the characteristics of an individual who has both faith and works? In other words, this is what he believes, and because this is what he believes, this is what he does. What are the characteristics of a person who has both? Look at verse 14 again, up to 14. What good is it, or what does it profit, my brother, if a man claims to have faith and no deeds? So if you have faith but not deeds, it's no good. So if faith and no deeds is no good, then both faith and deeds would be what? Good. So a characteristic of a faith that of a person who has both faith and works, that characteristic is good. It's profitable. That's profitable. Look at verse 26. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So if a faith has words but no deeds, it's dead. Well, if a faith without with words but no deeds is dead, then a faith that has both words and deeds is what? Alive. Are you getting this? Because there ain't no way I can repeat it. You getting it? You see what I'm saying? So the characteristic of a faith that has words and deeds is that it is good, it's profitable, it's alive. Look at verse 24. Well, I'm getting blessed by my own preaching here. Look at verse 24. You see that a person is justified when what he does is not by faith only. So what is the characteristic? It justifies it. It justifies it. So what is James saying? What James is saying is in verse 18 and 19 is that the Christian life is both words and deeds. Faith is both words and deeds. You got it? So bite number one. What a person professes and what they practice may be two different things. The Christian life is both work, faith, and works. It's both words that's backed up with deeds. Now, bite number three. And this is the heart of it. In verses 20 through 26, now I want you to hear this. In verses 20 through 26, James says that the proof of faith is submission to God. The proof that you have biblical faith is when you submit to God. Now, look at verse 20. Verse 20. I'm so glad these guys put these lights in. I can actually see this page. Verse 20. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? What's he saying? He's saying a faith without activity is useless. Unless a man's faith is accompanied by works, it's useless. Then he goes on to give us two examples. Abraham and Rahab. First, he uses Abraham. Now, what's he proven with these two examples? He's proven with these two examples that a faith without activity is useless. Look what he says. Abraham is up first. Verse 21. Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous, that is, justified? Was he not considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Now the story of this is back in Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, beginning with verse 1 and following, God told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your one and only son Isaac, You know, that one and only son he'd been waiting for, that one and only son who is going to be the seed carrier by which the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is going to be born. I want you to take your son Isaac up to the top of Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice that boy there. The Bible says that early the next morning, immediately, Abraham gathered up his son and they began to trek to Mount Moriah. And Abraham laid the boy out, and Abraham was going to sacrifice. Abraham was going to kill the boy. Now, I want you to flip back to Hebrews 11. It's the book before James. Flip back to Hebrews 11. And let me explain something to you. This goes on in Genesis 22. Abraham has taken the boy Isaac. He puts him on the altar, and Abraham's going to kill him. Now, Abraham knows he's the promised seed. So Abraham knows, I'm going to kill him, but he can't stay dead because of the promise that God has made him. Now, this happens in Genesis 22, but it isn't until you get to Hebrews 11 that you find out what was going on in the mind of Abraham on Moriah in Genesis 22. What was going around in his head back in Genesis 22? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises, what was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did raise Isaac back from the dead. Do you understand what he's saying? What was going on in Abraham's mind in Genesis 22 at the top of Mount Moriah is that I am going to kill him, and when I kill him, God is going to raise him back up. He has to raise him back up because that boy is the promised seed. And I'm going to take that boy's life from him, but God is going to raise him back up. That is faith. That is faith. Have mercy, that's faith. Have mercy is something you learn down there too. Look at James 2. Look at verse 22 and 23. Look at verse 22 and 23. You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that said, listen, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, as he was called God's friend. God told Abraham what to do, and Abraham did it. That's faith. The proof of faith is submitting to God. God told Abraham, this is my will for you, get about it, and Abraham got about it. Brother, listen to me. Abraham was not made righteous. Abraham was not justified because he deserved it. Lord have mercy, no. Abraham was not justified because he earned it. Abraham was justified by his faith when his faith went into action and did what God told him to do. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Look at the very next verse, verse 24. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith only. We are justified by our works, in as much as our works are related to our faith. You understand? I believe, okay? Now, do you believe it enough to do what God says to do? If you believe it enough to do what God says to do, that's biblical faith. The second example he uses is Rahab. Look at verse 25. We're almost there, brethren. Just stay with me. Verse 25. In the same way as what? As Abraham. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? Now, Rahab's story is told in Joshua 2. This is incredible. Look at this. Look at this. Abraham, Rahab, the father of the Jewish nation, of the Hebrews, and a Gentile prostitute. Friend of God, friend of man. I mean, listen to me. Are there any two people in all the world who have ever been more unalike than Abraham and Rahab? But those two had something in common. They demonstrated their faith by their actions. And because she did that, Rahab, in all her glory, is listed in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31 as one of the heroes of the faith. Don't mess with Rahab. Wow. Think he just pulled him out of the air? No, no. He was teaching. He was teaching. Now let me ask you this. We're working on finishing. But let me ask you this. Having looked at that like we just have, okay? Is there any comfort in this passage of Scripture for people who say, I believe in God, and then just do whatever they want to? There's no comfort for them at all in this passage of Scripture. Well, let me ask you another question. What about people who say, I believe in God, and then worship Him any way they want to? What? There's no comfort at all in this passage for them. Well, what about people who say, but I love God, and then hold to the commandments of men? Is there any comfort in that passage for them? None at all. But now let me ask you another question. Is there any comfort in that passage for somebody who attends the Highland Church of Christ, who believes, who comes down and is baptized, and then walks out and doesn't live that faith. There's no comfort at all for them in that passage of Scripture. Did you hear what I said? None at all. What about the person who believes and is baptized, but then isn't faithful? Any comfort in that passage for them? Not at all. Now here's the danger. Here's the danger. Here's the danger. We take this passage and we aim this passage at the denominational world and shoot it at them. You must have faith. You must do what God says to do. And that is exactly right. Except when James wrote this, he wasn't shooting at denominations. There were no denominations. He was shooting at brethren who thought talking religion is the same as living it. That's who this is aimed at. Brethren who think that talking it and doing it is the same. It's not the same. And it can't save you. It can't save you. This story, and I'm through. A chaplain was traveling with a platoon of soldiers in an area that they deemed was safe. They were just going from one place to another. And the platoon came under enemy fire. And a soldier was wounded. The chaplain immediately went to the soldier who was wounded and said, "Young man, would you like for me to read a passage out of the Bible to you?" And the soldier barked back angrily. He says, "No, I don't want you to read the Bible to me." And in just a moment, the chaplain said, "Well, son, is there anything you'd like for me to do for you?" And the young man says, "Well, if you have water, I'm really thirsty here." So the chaplain got his canteen and he gave the young soldier some water. He said, "Young man, is there anything else I can do for you?" He says, "I'm getting cold waiting for the medic." And the chaplain took his coat off and wrapped the young man up who was wounded. And the chaplain said, "Now, is there anything else I can do for you?" And a tear escaped the soldier's eyes. And he said, "Now, if it's okay, would you read some scripture to me?" You get it? May God give all of us a faith that people can see. That people can see. Either tonight we stand on the side of Abraham and Rahab with a faith that has words and deeds, or we stand on the other side with the brothers who argue, "You have faith and I have deeds, and ain't nobody over here going to heaven." All of us stand on one of two sides. So I ask you, is your faith alive and well? If you're here tonight and you've lost the way, you need to come back. If you're away from God, you need to come back. It's a terrible thing to lose the way, but it's worse to know you've lost the way and then not rectify it. We're going to sing the first stanza of the invitation song. If you need to respond, come forward right now as together we stand and as we sing.